2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. It's Thanksgiving week, which is awesome in itself.
Are we starting the festivities early?
Always.
I started last night. Whew, we had some good food yesterday, Scotty.
Prime rib sounds delightful.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I'm not even a big prime rib fan.
We celebrated kind of Thanksgiving, Christmas with my wife's side of the family. And I did an 11.5-pound prime rib, 6-rib prime rib.
Yeah.
Took the ribs off, which, by the way, I'm just going to give you a suggestion on this. Anybody, I know you don't like to do the prime rib, but anybody out there that loves to do prime rib, when you remove that rib section, you just place it under the prime rib that's up on a rack. So you put the prime rib it's tined up so that it's all kind of tied together.
Yep.
And you put the ribs right under that rib, that prime rib, and let all the drippings drip down on those ribs and all the flavors from the salt and the pepper come down on those ribs. And, oh, man, the ribs were good. The prime rib was incredible. Had a really good creamy mac and cheese with it. I love mac and cheese with the prime rib. Some creamy horseradish sauce dipped in
au jus. There you go.
This isn't your favorite, though. You don't like the prime rib?
Prime rib's a little too spongy for me. I need a good steak. Like, give me a ribeye. Now we're talking.
Just a medium rare.
Medium rare ribeye.
Ribeye.
Yeah. And I know they're in the same family. I get it, but.
Is it a certain seasoning? Do you like your ribeye? Is your ribeye just a salt and pepper?
Or give me just a good.
Do you like a little garlic?
I like a little garlic butter melted on the top of it. But for the most part, if you give me a ribeye. And I told you, like, the best, when we had our guy, was it Delta, who brought us up some steaks? Who was going to advertise
from,
and never
Delta.
Did. Best steak I've ever had. He brought up those ribeyes, little bit of Wagyu.
And then
cross.
Disappeared.
And I put them on a green egg, and I just got that thing scorching hot. A little bit of olive oil, a little kosher salt, a little coarse black pepper. Threw it on there, and it's the best steak I've ever had.
No sauce.
No sauce. Oh, heavens.
What size did you roll with it?
No, I just cooked it. I couldn't wait for sides.
Oh, so you didn't even do a side?
Just... No, I just I had a steak, and I'm like, let's fire up a steak.
And you let the steak walk.
And the steak did its thing.
Mm. We had some creamy, cheesy mashed potatoes and some broccoli. And Scotty, it's just the time of year where you let your, you undo your belt, you prime up those taste buds, you get some good cheese and crackers. That always kind of sparks the belly and the palate to get ready for good flavors and good food. And Thanksgiving is going to be a real problem for me.
Yeah, you know where I'm going to be for Thanksgiving? Boise. Because Utah State's playing Boise at 10 a.m. the next day. So I will be spending Thanksgiving in Boise. Looking forward to that.
That'll be a great time. Are you just going to stay up there, though? The Girard compound? Are you going to
come back? No. Mom and Dad got the Rona, so...
Are they okay?
Yeah, they're okay. They're just you know, quarantined off a little bit, so...
Both of them,
yeah.
How did they get?
Not bad. My dad's pretty much over it. My mom's kind of in the middle of it right now.
Did this come from John or John's kids?
I'm blaming John's kids, yeah. For me not having... Because that was the plan. I was just going to drive up to Idaho, enjoy the mother of all Thanksgiving dinners up there, because my mom kills it for Thanksgiving, and then just make my way up to Boise Thursday night, meet with the coaches, do all that stuff, and then call the game Friday morning. Well, now that...
The Rona...
Nestled into Burley and Declo, Idaho.
This is now 3 years of being affected by the Rona for you.
And that's not okay.
It's getting you.
I think 2 years ago I was in South Dakota for Thanksgiving for a basketball tournament.
That's right.
I think last year I was in Albuquerque. Myrtle Beach. Or no, Albuquerque,
we were,
right.
We were trying to get that coach to take
that's
care of
right.
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It bummed me out.
And he didn't do it.
You didn't even have a Thanksgiving dinner. You were calling a game in Albuquerque and the guy left you hanging.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you've had some rough Thanksgivings.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the Rona clears out in the last second and you can get the green light to stop by for a good Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah.
Because your mom and dad don't want to...
No, they're not happy about it either.
Quiet for Thanksgiving? That sucks.
Yeah.
But how was your weekend otherwise? Did you have a good time?
Hey, honestly, called probably one of my favorite football games I've called in a long time. That Utah State-San Jose State game, just from obviously it was a big win for Utah State to get bowl eligible, but just from a sheer entertainment standpoint, was a really fun game. Really fun, entertaining. Cooper Legault takes the team down, 75 yards for the game-winning touchdown. The defense, which had been giving up yards and points throughout the day, comes up and gets a four and out stop. Mm-hmm. San Jose State has to go for it, and Utah State ends up getting the win, 35-31. Just a really fun game. Fun atmosphere. Super-duper cold. It didn't infect me. I was in a nice warm booth. But those fans up there in Logan that sat through that thing, whew, my hat goes off to you. Because it was in the low teens before that thing got done.
It had to have been freezing.
Yeah.
Because Friday night, we all went out to the 5A state championship game.
Yes.
Lehigh and Temp View.
Congratulations.
Well, it was just awesome. Just an incredible way for them, those boys, to finish out that season. But that was a 2:30 kick, and it was so freaking cold already. And I'm thinking, holy cow, tomorrow night. And I was telling Amanda, I'm like, tomorrow night, because Jason Anderson, his son Teague Anderson, plays up there. He was headed up to that game. And I'm like, you guys are going to freeze. It was so cold. But three overtimes is all it took, Scotty. Three overtimes.
And then
for Lehigh to finish their season completely undefeated with a state championship. Three overtimes.
But after that interception, you had to feel pretty good about things in that third inning. And honestly, by the time I'd gotten home and got settled in after that remote at Advanced Windows, I kind of got settled in, talked to the family a little bit.
Thinking there's no way this game is still going.
Yeah, I thought the game was over. But I'm like, I would have heard from Hands or something like that. And so I fire up Twitter. I look at it and I go, first overtime. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
we're getting that on right now. So I fired up the KSL Sports app. And watched JJ and the crew on that play-by-play, and it was awesome.
Huge congratulations to Lehigh. First, Coach Ed Larson. And I know people have asked me, how did my son play? My son's a sophomore. They rolled heavy with the seniors. He didn't get enough playing time to even really acknowledge it. And that's fine. He's got plenty of playing time through the season,
yeah.
and I've been really proud of what he's done. But those state championship games, everything tightens up, especially when it's that close. And if you're a senior and you can play, you play. And I'm fine with it. I got no issue with it. But I do want to send out some major congratulations to Ed Larson, Jason Anderson, Coach Cooper. I'll say Jackson Brissot, the quarterback,
yeah.
was spectacular. Bobby Terrell, or Isaac Terrell, you know the Terrell family.
Oh, yeah.
Carson Terrell played
yep.
at Utah State. He was special, and he got robbed of a strip that would have been a touchdown. He just yanked it right out of the running back's hand and started run for a touchdown. And
I say forward progress or what?
The official did not blow a whistle until he had like three steps going back the other way, and they called that thing back. It was ridiculous. No whistle until then. So big shout out to him. Cadian Sweat, who the Utah State Aggies just offered a
got an offer from Colorado State and
to.
Utah State over the weekend.
It was a really good weekend for him. And really just across the board, every other player that put in a lot of time and effort, because that was a really good team. I will say, 53 seniors. Is it either 52 or 53 seniors?
That's an obscene amount of seniors. That's crazy.
Never heard of it in my life. But really fun weekend. The football was really good this weekend. I know that Utah fans, and I'm sure that's where we're coming out of the gates, but I'm sure Utah fans are not feeling that way, even though I thought it was a good football game. If you're just looking at it through the lens of football, I thought it was a good football game, but it was not real clean by Utah standards.
No, it was not, and we'll get to that. But I got to tell you, like, rock on cloud nine, though. I got to imagine.
Yes. Yeah, he absolutely
was. You guys
was.
Celebrated afterwards, celebrated all weekend.
Absolutely.
He doesn't get relaxed, though. He's got wrestling now.
He's Monday.
Oh,
yeah, wrestling starts Monday, so but yeah, he was, man. He was flowing on a cloud, and I loved seeing it. And
it's so much fun to see your kids do something great.
It's just awesome. And yeah, he was bugged he didn't get to play as much. He's bummed.
Yeah.
But I said, son, you're just a baby. Now next year's your team, and you go earn it and own it. Now you go win one. And it's gonna be tough. It's a lot of seniors to lose.
Lot, yeah, that's a lot of turnover.
Hey, and I heard that. I'm not Mr. High School Guy. Hey, Hatch. Hey, Lloyd, will you grab Hatch? I'm not Mr. High School Guy, but I'm hearing that they're moving Lehigh to 6A and they're moving Corner Canyon to 5A.
Oh, really? I know. Look, every 2 years they do the realignment and it ticks everybody off. So I know realignment is due and they do it every 2 years and everybody gets angry. In fact, I wish they'd do it every 4 years. I don't know that world very well as well, too. So, but I do know that every 2 years, the UHSAA goes and essentially drops a hand grenade on everything and blows everything up and realigns everything.
Well, I don't know how that's going to pan out, but what I'm being told
is
they're saying Corner Canyon's going down to 5A.
And Lehigh's going up to 6A?
Yep.
Woo.
Yep.
Giddy up.
We'll see how that all goes. That's going to be interesting.
All right, let's get to it. Hans and Scotty starting lineup right now here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go.
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors.
Gotta love it!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is time for your starting lineup. And Hans, BYU plays Utah Tech, and that's, you know, it was an expected W. Utah State had a big one up in Logan against San Jose State. They get the win and get bowl eligible. But let's be honest, from a national perspective, and the biggest game of the state was Utah hitting the road to Eugene. Biggest game of the year for the Utes.
Mm-hmm.
Defense came to play. Offense, Hans, not so much.
Defense did come to play through a bulk of that game, especially in the second half. Really showed up and held Oregon to just 3 points in the second half of that game. And Utah was starting to make the push in the third quarter, was getting close, and just couldn't get over the hump. And I was going through the film today, and I'm so bummed because I turned off my iPad and didn't bring it with me before I... There were two other videos that I was going to tweet out. I do have two videos that are tweeted out. One of them is extremely sarcastic and people are not picking up on the sarcasm. So I apologize to those of you that can't see sarcasm and they don't press play on the video and turn up the volume and hear me talking about the holding call. But there were a couple of videos that I didn't get tweeted out yet, just showing complete defensive domination for Oregon going against Utah's offensive line. Multiple plays where the center, the guard, the interior was pushed into the backfield and really dominated. And then on the offensive side of the ball for Oregon, there were a couple times, Scotty, that Utah got caught in some formations where they had DNs in on three techniques and two techniques. And those DNs, when they would shift in, a guy like Connor O'Toole, that what do you think Connor O'Toole weighs? What do you think?
I can't even.
Maybe 260?
I was thinking 250.
Maybe 250? Maybe.
Not much.
Well, you rotate those guys in to the interior on running downs.
Yeah, and it's gonna create some problems.
It's going to create problems. So they got some one-on-one matchups, and they moved guys like Connor O'Toole back, and
yeah,
they were able to wall off Karini Reed and cause some real problems there in the first half. Defensive line figured it out, and I think formationally they figured it out as well and got things going. But, Scotty, I know that Utah fans are very protective of Cam Rising.
Yeah.
Very, very protective. And I feel like every time I start to criticize them, they start to pull their hair out. I hope that Utah fans trust me enough in my film review and the people I talk to and the way I perceive a game that I can throw a couple criticisms out there without having things come back too harshly. Cam Rising's had an opportunity to heal to a certain extent. He's dealing with the bumps and bruises and he's dealing with injury maybe that's just slightly beyond that of other quarterbacks. But there's no excuse for some of the throws that were made. Throws on fourth down, one throw for a pick. There were a couple throws that were low, one that was tipped that led to a pick. And I think that it's okay to be a little bit critical of Cam Rising and say he has not looked good for a number of games. And this was a culmination of not looking good for a number of games. And his 21 of 38 for 170 yards against a passing defense that gives up 290 yards a game. Yet they're 120 yards below the average that Oregon gives up through the air. Throwing three touchdowns with a QBR 33. Cam Rising just struggled
in this game against Oregon. I'll say it. Look, this was a big moment for him and he didn't perform.
So it's a very big moment. Now you can spotlight.
Okay, you can say the knee. And that's fine, and that could very well be the case. But we were led to believe over the last several weeks that he was continuing to get better. And going into the game, the message was that Cam's as healthy as he's been for a long period of time.
But when you do see him run, though, it doesn't look like that.
It doesn't look right.
I mean, the guy lowered his head and was going to run over people.
Yeah.
You saw him do
it's
that.
It's not to the point
and
where
And the game
he
before,
is.
You saw him make one of the most miraculous scrambles I think I've ever seen. And you're like... You know, I'm sure it's bothering a little, but it's not
to the point where it's completely hampering. This is where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't if you're an offensive coordinator or a quarterback's coach. If you don't play him and you say, we just got to have somebody that can really plant on the foot and lead with the throw. So maybe you put in Bryson. Or we got to have somebody that really is a dual threat. You put in Nate. However you want to manage that, you make that decision going into a big game like Oregon. But when they underperform and somebody says, yeah, but Cam Rising could have played, like what happened earlier in the season. Washington State, you were able to beat them. This game with an 85%, 90%, I don't even know where Cam would put himself health percentage-wise. You're going to get criticism. But this is what I look at. And this goes to your point, Scotty, that you just made. Cam didn't step up. Bo Nix did.
Yep. Both dealing with injuries.
Bo Nix probably shouldn't have or wasn't going to. And if you need any indicator of that, we've talked about Bo Nix and his 14 rushing touchdowns. We've talked about Bo Nix and his hundreds of rushing yards. Do people realize that Bo Nix only got out of the pocket or only tried to move around twice for a total of -3 yards?
Yeah.
It's because Bo Nix couldn't and didn't want to risk it. But Bo Nix still showed up and did enough, nearly 300 yards passing, to initiate this Oregon offense and at least get 20 points on the board. Utah's defense played good enough to win this game.
They did. They did. And you could also say there's another element that we touched on this in the morning after podcast. And I really need to sit down and I need to chat with some. I don't know, maybe we need to get Jake Hatch back in here. I don't know. I don't know if he knows Utah's recruiting that well. But I got to figure out why Utah can't seem to offer up kids who seem to want to come to Utah and offer them scholarships to come kick. Because, and I don't know, look, they might be in a scholarship crunch where they don't have the available offers to risk one for a kicker. But I don't want Kyle Whittingham coming in and complaining about kickers when he's offering preferred walk-on spots to kids that apparently have good resumes that can come in and help out that kicking game. If you really want to fix it, go give a scholarship to a kid to come in and compete for that job and take it over. Because right now, you left a lot of points on the board because you're too scared to put the kicker in. Because you don't trust him, because he's not any good.
And when you did put him in, he missed it.
And yes, and for good reason. I mean, I understand why you don't trust your kicker. He's not good.
Yeah.
So I understand you not going to your kicker. Makes sense to me. The problem is that you don't have a kicker that you don't trust, yeah, and that can't make those kicks. And coaches, and I'm not just singling out Kyle Whittingham, it's all across the board. Coaches don't like giving those scholarships to kickers because they're like, well, I need that ninth offensive lineman, or I need that 11th defensive lineman. And I get that. You want to build your depth.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, don't come complaining about your kicking when you're not willing to use resources to bring in a quality kicker. Now, again, I don't know what the scholarship situation is at Utah with those kickers. There might be a good reason why they're not offering a couple kids that they've instead given preferred walk-on spots, offering those up. But come on, you get what you pay for. And right now, this is what Utah's paying for right now in their kicking game. Mm-hmm.
And it's hurting them. There's no question. I do think that this was a very good game for Clark Phillips. I'd say a very good game. He had a couple of pass breakups that were clutch. He had that interception that almost won it for the University of Utah.
Yeah.
Almost won it. And almost got it. He was so close to getting through the traffic and getting that in for a pick six. But I thought Clark Phillips played very well. I thought that Gabe Reed played pretty well off that defensive end, especially through the second half of that game. Samote Pepa had another sack in that game, and I thought did okay there in the interior. For the most part, this defense stepped up. They did what they needed to do. They gave them enough to get it done. By the way, I do want to mention that Samote Pepa sack was Bo Nix going to the ground to not get hit.
Yeah.
He was there. I just...
He would have gotten
it. Not that I want to take the sack away from him. It's just the first person that touches a quarterback that goes down, you get the sack. But
when you ever saw a quarterback slip, is it just like a gangbusters to the quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you come to the sideline, you're like, I touched him first. No, I did. I got him. I touched him. And the whole time you're like, well, what we didn't do was our job, like actually getting the sack.
Meanwhile, you're hoping some 80-year-old statistician up in the box with a pair of binoculars gives you credit for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then you fight with them afterwards. And then last thing, just as far as criticism, drop passes in this game, I'm sure it's giving the coaches major indigestion. I'm sure fans major indigestion. The passes that were thrown accurately there in that final drive, there were a couple of drops. One in particular right across the middle off of a post that should have been a big catch for a huge gain to at least get you right there for field goal position. And it was dropped. So Man, Scotty, this is the one that got away.
Guess who I ran into walking upstairs to the studio? Cave Inc.
Oh, yeah.
I was coming down. In fact, I was thinking you were going to see him in the parking lot because he was giving me grief. He's like, I bet Hans is already up there all prepped up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, he was waiting for you the whole time.
But anyway, K-Bank was like, how about that game in Eugene? He goes, you know, it's one thing to lose a game. It's another thing to just shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
And the self-inflicted stuff. And the drops are just...
The drops of the self-inflicted.
That's what really just rips your heart apart. It's one thing when you lose a game, you're like, okay, they were better. You know, they did this and we couldn't, and they had this player and we just had nobody of that caliber. There's some games where you're just like, okay, other team's good. There's other times where you're just like, there were opportunities and you left them out there on the field.
Too many of those.
Yeah.
Tavian Thomas was getting hit in the backfield too often. That's why his yards per carry dropped 2.9 yards per carry. Jaquinta Jackson, I'd like to see more than three carries out of him because the times he got the ball, he did great things with. And then I'll say it one more time, Jalen Dixon does not get enough touches. Someday they'll probably figure that out.
Probably against Colorado, he'll have like 15 touches.
If that happens,
that'll make it even worse. Well,
honestly. That's going to make it worse. That's going to make it worse.
Hands of Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical. Mark, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Hey, you know what? The holidays are coming up, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that want to make sure they're in their best possible condition for the holidays.
Yeah.
And one way you can do that, especially when you're looking at a 2 or 3 week time frame, is make a visit to Wasatch Medical.
Yeah, you can have this done in a very short period of time. So, and we are talking about, of course, treating the root cause of ED. Typically, guys are taking pills. Pills come with side effects, timing issues, so on and so forth. At Wasatch Medical Clinic, we have a breakthrough treatment for ED, and it is called acoustic wave therapy.
And the thing is, that's not a needle. It's not a little blue pill, and it has an end date to it, too.
Yes, though that's the problem with the pills. The pills treat the symptoms. They last about 3 to 4 hours. You have to redose on those pills. Timing becomes an issue. Acoustic wave therapy, we use a small device. It's a handheld device placed on the skin that delivers gentle pressure waves to the blood vessels, helps to open up those blood vessels, even create new blood vessels, and that gives an increase in blood flow where and when a guy with ED needs it the most. Again, treating the root cause, non-invasive, there's no pain, there is no side effects. Typically, the average guy takes a few treatments over about a 2 to 3 week period. Those treatments last about 15 minutes each. So it's a very simple process.
And it all starts with a free assessment, too, a free consultation with a physician.
You bet. Give us a call, guys. You will get the exam, the assessment, even that blood flow ultrasound absolutely free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results in the bedroom. But give us a call now, the number 801-901-8000. Again, 801-901-8000.
That's the number to call, 801-901-8000, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, yes, tight end from the University of Utah, Dalton Kincaid. You've played in a lot of different environments now. How does the home field stack up? You know, does that stuff matter when players are picking where to go?
I can't really imagine being a recruit and coming to a home game and just experiencing the atmosphere that Utah has to offer and not fall in love with the place. Can't imagine being like a tight end recruit in high school right now and Utah not being one of the top two schools that you look at. I mean, between us and Georgia and the utilization of the tight end position, I can't imagine another school that you'd want to go to.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Tell you what, when Jaren Hall gets done with whatever playing career he wants to go to, we're ready for him here in the media. The dude can sling together a few sentences. I don't know if you heard that bite in the update, but My goodness.
I didn't hear it.
Just kept going and going and going and going.
He puts it together?
Yeah, he does. All right, let's get to it. It's our Players Club with Houston Haymooley.
This is your chance to get college football insight straight from the source.
Goal line, let's go!
This is the Players Club as we talk football with some of the biggest stars in the state. Now joining Hans and Scotty from Brigham Young University, Houston Haymooley.
Let's be honest, though. The guy who's really destined for media stardom is Houston Haymooley. Houston, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How are things? What's new after this Utah Tech game? How are you guys feeling?
I mean, you know, it was a game that, you know, we expected to win. Took us a minute to get some traction, but we're glad that we kind of got the result we wanted. So, yeah, guys are happy, and guys are now kind of focused, shifting all of our focus now to Stanford.
So is it like a thick blanket, or is it just like a, like what kind of, what's the blanket like they give you?
It is actually, it's funny. As soon as they gave it to us, I went right home, unfolded it, put it on my bed, and had the best sleep ever. It was amazing.
I would tell you, is it like a Minky Couture, like a thick fuzzy blanket?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, it's like a Minky. It's like a thick fuzzy, and like, you know, college kids, we don't really buy blankets like this. So man, oh my goodness, I was freaking rolling around, and then I'm still in action.
Ours was like a sheet with a Y on it, and moths got into mine.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, oh, no. 8 holes all over through it. So
your blanket's all looks like Swiss cheese, yeah. Right now, huh?
Yeah, I go to sleep with it. My leg ends up through one of the holes, and it's just uncomfortable. Don't let the moths get in on that thing.
Oh, I have an irrational fear of moths. So yeah, I definitely won't.
Did you say an irrational fear of?
Oh, I am definitely afraid of moths for no reason. Like they'll just fly around, and I will go to a whole different room if a moth's in the room.
You know, there's a scientific term for a fear of anything. So Lloyd right now is looking up what the fear of moths are, and see if he can find out what that is.
So actually, me and my brother and Hema, we are both like all the guys in our families. I don't know, we all scared of moths.
Oh, really? It runs in the family, huh?
Yeah, so if you see him, go ahead and just toss one in his room or just like throw one up and see what he does.
He'll love that.
I think it's called modophobia.
Modophobia?
Modophobia.
Modophobia.
Okay.
All right, so it's like, looks like the same family. Like, so let's say there's a butterfly coming by. Does that freak you out or no?
Not really as much, because I know it's a butterfly, but like moths are always just kind of like skulking around at night. They're like the ugly cousins of butterflies.
Yeah, they're the creatures exactly of the night.
They're creatures of the night, and that's what scares me.
They do cause problems too, man. They'll eat right through fabric.
Wow, something new every day. All right, so when it's 20-14 and Utah Tech's got a little momentum, is there any concern on that sideline, or is it like, okay, we know we'll figure things out, we'll be okay?
Yeah, I think it was more of a. Everyone knew we weren't playing how we should have. And so we're all like, okay, like it's still nerve wracking knowing that you're down, knowing that the game is this close. But I think I did see a shift in gears when guys were like, all right, it's time to start like, you know, playing. It's time to start like taking, you know, this more seriously. You know, I think guys walked out to this game thinking Utah Tech, FCS, we'll walk all over them. And of course you guys saw it was a struggle at the beginning.
Keanu Hill had a good game, and he had multiple fantastic level catches. Talk a little bit about Keanu Hill and that performance, and what type of teammate, what type of worker is he?
Keanu Hill is a worker that he always grinds, knowing, you know, you have an amazing wide receiver room. And he's had amazing games in the past, but, you know, when you have Puka Nacua out there, Keanu plays a role that he always will be ready for when it's his chance. And that's a role that kind of hard for a lot of guys to take. And you know what? In that game, when they started bracket doubling Puka, Keanu is there to shine and was there to make all the catches. Offseason-wise, when we're working, Keanu's one of the most upbeat guys, funniest guys I know. And he's just a grinder. You know, he has a great attitude towards everything we do.
Houston Haymooley joining us. It's the Players Club final edition with Houston. And it's been fun getting to know you throughout the season and chat college football every week. But now that you got one game left, the Stanford game, I know this has a little special meaning for you coming from Stanford. I know the playing time hasn't been what you would hope it would be, but I mean, do you need to buy A-Rod a milkshake? Like, what do you got to do to get some playing time out there on that field this Saturday?
Oh, man. If only I could buy people milkshakes like that, it would be easier. But, you know, it works with me, though. If you get me a milkshake, I'll be happy to do anything. But, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of just play my role as much as I can, you know. And I'm grateful to be here, BYU. You know, I've loved being here and just being at my dad's alma mater. So it's been a blessing. So, you know, just being here is enough. And that, you know, if they give me a chance, I'm going to take it. Any shot I get, I'll take it.
So things were bubbling up pretty badly after a four-game losing streak. You beat Boise State, really kind of puts out the fire. You beat Utah Tech. I'm sure it's cooled things off quite a bit. Does it just feel more manageable around the locker room right now, Houston?
Yeah, I think that's a good term for it, manageable. Like you said, it's hard when we have a huge losing streak and nothing feels like it's in your control. So after these two wins, you know, now it feels like we kind of get back on the reins. And it's good because, you know, we're about to face, you know, Pac-12 team, Stanford, and they haven't had the season they wanted, but they're still a good team and have good players nonetheless.
So I want to know a little bit more about Tanner McKee. You know, it's funny how NFL scouts look at him with the arm and the size and stuff and go, this guy could be an NFL quarterback, but the production hasn't been there where Stanford would like it to be. But you've gotten to know him both as a player and off the field as well. What kind of person is he? And do you think the talent is there once the system gets put around him to be successful?
Yeah. Person-wise, he's one of the greatest men you'll ever know. You know, he embodies everything you want from an individual in the church as well, LDS member, served a mission, a great kid. And then he also embodies a great character on the field. And, you know, when he first stepped on campus at Stanford, you know, his goal was to make a difference right away. And I love that attitude. And he's a guy who knows how to read the room really, really well. I'm actually impressed because it's a hard skill sometimes. And he's just a great friend. You know, I appreciate his friendship through the years. But talent-wise, you know, he's amazing, you know. And it's hard when, you know, Stanford's been plagued with injuries. And that's unfortunate for their line. That's unfortunate for their skill positions. And it's hard for, you know, Tanner to – I feel like he's had a hard time this year. You know, he's been pressed in that pocket really fast. You know, teams have just brought so much pressure knowing Stanford has lost linemen and lost running backs and protection. But he has the talent. You know, I 100% believe he has the skill and ability to play at the next level.
How bad do you think things have gotten over there? You guys had one four-game losing streak. They've had two. They're currently on a four-game losing streak. You're looking to push it to five, but they had a four-game losing streak at the beginning of the year, losing to USC, Washington, Oregon, and Oregon State. How bad do you think things are there right now, Houston?
I don't know. All I can say is it is similar because I had two seasons there where we were in the same predicament last year as 3-9 as well. You know, it was it gets to a point where I won't say you won't lose faith in each other because, you know, when you're a team, it's a whole different chemistry. You know, you're always grinding for your boys, but it does become harder to, you know, have faith and hope in what's next, you know. And you know, unfortunately for them, you know, there is no bowl game, and this is going to be their last game of the season. So it's unfortunate, and this last game is what they have to put all on the line.
Houston A. Mouli joining us. You know, when we go to Pac-12 Media Day, there's a few guys I always look forward to chatting with, and David Shaw is one of them. Just seems like a phenomenal person, phenomenal yep. coach, but the production hasn't been there the last couple of years. What do you think needs to happen to try to turn things around there at Stanford to get back to what they used to be?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't know. It's a question that I wish I was more advanced in football to know, because it's been hard. David Shaw is one of the greatest men I know, and he has a very open heart, especially towards the LDS players. You know, that's why I appreciated him. And, you know, he gave me some shots in college and let me shine for as much as I could. So I have a deep love and respect for Coach Shaw. As for what's next for Stanford, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's recruiting or maybe their system right now. or maybe it's just other teams have figured us out, you know, figure Stanford out and plan very well for them. So, yeah, I wish I had a better answer.
Were you able to get that degree before you left, or are you finishing that up at BYU?
Oh, yeah, no, I got that degree before I left.
That's an impressive piece of paper once you hit the once you hang up the cleats to be able to say, yeah, you know what, no big deal, I just graduated from Stanford.
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't leaving there without a degree. I think I had the best circumstance, you know, most people could ever have.
So you guys get to bowl eligibility, and that's exciting. That's fun. I've seen a couple of projections. I've seen you in the Armed Forces Bowl, potentially. I've seen the Frisco Bowl, potentially. There's a couple of different potential landing spots for bowl games. How excited are you, and how excited is the team to be bowl eligible?
I'm sorry I cut out a bit, but yeah, they're just having another chance to play another game with your teammates is something most teams won't be able to do. So we're excited just to play with each other again.
Is there a favorite? Look, I've covered a team in the Frisco Bowl. They treat you well down there. Hawaii is a long trip. I'm sure there's a lot of people who would like to go to Hawaii, but it's on Christmas Eve, so that kind of wrecks your Christmas plan. So is there anything out there that you would I hear Boise is lovely this time of year.
Oh man, come out to that bowl. I'm calling that one. I'll dab you in that one.
Is there any favorites, any lobbying going on by the players on where they'd like to go?
I'm going to be honest with you. Hawaii Bowl would be the best. You know, I'd love to, you know, Christmas Eve, but it's Hawaii. Come on now. That'd be awesome. But yeah, most guys honestly don't really have a preference right now. Everyone's just like excited just to have the chance to be at a bowl game.
Well, Houston, we appreciate it, man. This has been a lot of fun getting to know you, and thanks for joining us every week. I know it's been a season that may not have gone the way that you thought it was going to on a couple different levels, but we appreciate you being kind enough to join us every week and have some fun with us and screw around a little bit and put up with our dumb jokes. So it means a lot. We appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me and putting up with my dumb jokes. So it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Houston.
Great stuff, Houston. Thanks.
Hey, much love to y'all. Appreciate y'all.
I got you. Houston A. Mooley, right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Well, not the year that he wanted. Not the year BYU wanted. Probably a lot of disappointment coursing through that locker room, coursing through him individually.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that he's happy with how things went. If he is, more power to him. That's great. But I know those Hamulis, and they like to be on a football field.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Houston would have loved to have been on that football field more. But as he mentioned, one more game together. And I know there's a couple of opportunities. My guess is it's between the Frisco Bowl and the Armed Forces Bowl. I know that there's a couple of other opportunities in there, but seems like those are two big options right now.
All right, 12:47, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, another edition of What You May Have Missed right here on The Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering.
Joined by Jaren Hall, quarterback at BYU.
You know, coming off a couple, not perfect seasons. You could tell that there were still some faith issues surrounding, you know, ourselves and the fans, trying to figure out what type of team we are, what type of energy you want to bring. And then slowly over the years, as we kind of improved and started figuring out who we were, you know, the fans started believing too, you know, and then slowly year after year, the stadium began to be a little more electric until last year, you know, when they started selling out again and into this year. So it's just been really fun to see progress, not only our team, but you know, the faith the fans have had, the love and support that they've given, taking the time out of their days to focus on us and give us love.
It's Unrivaled afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2G Bars, perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty and nutritious boost. The 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, it's another edition of What You May Have Missed right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Oh, there's so many things to talk about. All right, Lloyd. Go. Actually, no. Before we get to that, though, we do have a hands because we know our good friend Nate Dowdle, who is also our boss and could squash us all into oblivion if he so decided on a whim.
He might be squashing an intern here coming up.
Well, yeah, you can't tweet out like that, Lloyd.
I told you it was the intern.
Now the intern
did it.
And that's another way.
And I'll talk to him.
And that's another way of you taking subtle shots that he has not provided you an intern too. So that's there's multiple shots that you're taking on our guy, Nate, which is just want to know.
There was no shot there. Don't
just know.
I've worked long enough without an intern. I don't even need one.
The opinions of like Lloyd him. Cole do not necessarily reflect those of Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Says the guy that tweeted out what he tweeted out.
What I tweeted
over
out.
The weekend. Really?
Oh, then we went to bed together. That was meant like.
And I got to see a gif of beds of three yeah. people spooning.
I know that guy. Hey.
Before you go, though. There is, so because we want to make Nate happy and Nate's our boss, we have decided to provide World Cup updates. Okay? So here is our latest World Cup update. Lloyd, has the United States scored a goal?
Yes.
That is your World Cup update right here on the zone. 1-0 United States over Wales.
Is that sponsored yet?
No.
All right, just so everybody knows, that's up for sponsorship if you'd like to get in on that.
And if you don't want some of that action,
I don't know what's wrong with you.
So,
brought to you by Joe Schmuckatilly Tires.
It's kind of hard for Nate Dowdle to attack a word that was made famous by Anne of Green Gables. She made that word that you used famous, Lloyd.
Bosom?
Yeah, bosom. Because Diana Barry was her bosom buddy.
Wait, I was just thinking, I thought it was...
Did you just smell... A
yeah.
folder?
Yeah, it's his leather. His new leather folder.
Smell that leather.
What was that?
Smell that leather.
Yeah, that's prime cow right there.
Yeah, that's right off the cow.
Yep.
Got a leather binder. It's good leather.
Yep. I was thinking of the Tom Hanks show in the 80s. Bosom Buddies.
Oh,
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, so I think you're on the up and up, Lloyd. I think you're right.
Well, I don't know when he says, hey, come nestle into the bosom of Hans and Scotty for the next 3 hours.
Oh, it was a rough weekend. So is there anything?
Hey, why is it a rough weekend? Also, what you may have missed, get it out.
It just
enjoy
was,
it. Was. You got stuff to say. Let's go ahead and get to it. I'm ready.
Utah
I don't
fans.
Know what you're talking about. Yeah,
no, I know.
Rough weekend for the U fans and stuff.
No. Come on. You had a good weekend. You don't win a lot of football games, but when you do play the Broncos, you get wins. So let's go. Let's go.
Oh, come on. I forgot about that one.
Come on. Let's get it out.
No, so, by the way, the Raiders are, they have not lost to the Broncos since going into Vegas, since they moved to Vegas. Well, they have not lost.
Is this your third season or second
third
season?
Third season, I think.
All right. Yeah, well, it's three games. And yesterday was, you mean
no,
total?
Total.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they've lost to them since being in Vegas. So, that would be
six games.
6-0.
All right.
You know, Scotty, it's hard because you fight through these long seasons with your teams and you finally get that win and you want to feel good about it, but I still just don't feel good about.
So as a lifelong Raiders fan, you're having a hard time wrapping your arms around this one.
I am, because when they headed into the locker room after that win, Josh McDaniels was still their coach.
So there's that.
Lloyd, I asked the question.
I'm
having a hard time feeling good about that win.
Is, you know what, which is odd, because usually it's only losses that you call them our Raiders. So it was weird to even see you being like, our Raiders after a win. That's not what you do normally.
A lot of listeners congratulated me on Twitter.
By the way, I asked the question, is there somebody that's more, you just see their face and you just want to punch them
than
in
me?
The face?
Is it me?
No.
Oh.
No. Josh McDaniels. Something about his ears that are just squished down by his hat, that you just want to just sit there and treat his face like a punching bag.
Why are you so angry about a win?
I'm happy about a win. Josh McDaniels is, even if they were winning like crazy, he's still a very punchable looking guy.
You know, everybody was thinking how great Patrick Surtain was and that the Broncos did the right thing by drafting him over Justin Fields. And yet there's Devontae Adams just cooking him like a turkey on Thanksgiving. Play after play after play. And why is it, and look, Josh Jacobs is a good running back, but why is he Walter Payton every time he plays the Broncos?
don't know. It's a Bronco. Like
Denver played
Bronco Raider thing. I don't
Denver
know why.
Denver played Derrick Henry and Tennessee, and I know Tennessee won, but Derrick Henry didn't really do anything in that game. But yeah, when Josh Jacobs gets the ball, it's like, hey, let's let him get an 8 yard per rush average.
Yeah, you might want to cover that guy out of the backfield,
too. You would think so, yeah.
Well, did you guys, though, I actually sent a tweet out. I felt like Vegas caught that Denver Broncos defense completely off guard by throwing to Devontae Adams.
I know, right? Didn't see that one coming.
It was such a shocker.
He only had 17 targets.
It was such a shocker that they would go to Devontae Adams.
Cam Rising thinks he's locking onto him too much.
Sure, maybe you throw to him in regulation, but throwing to Devontae Adams when the game matters? What?
It's like, hey, let's, you know what I think they're going to do is give it to that number 10 guy, whatever his
name
is.
Some of those forced passes that he tried, I'm like, there's three guys around him. What are you doing?
Gosh.
There's got to be somebody else open.
I can't even believe Devontae Adams. Was there anybody within 20 yards of him?
No. And again, supposed going up against the greatest young superstar up and coming corner in the league in Surtain, and he got cooked. Nate says, "Hey, thanks for the World Cup update, guys. Great job. I appreciate all of your hard work and efforts. Thanks, Nate."
Would you like to know where the game's at in it as far as time wise?
No. Let's just. You ready for another? Okay, here comes another World Cup update. Ready? Lloyd, has the United States scored?
Yes.
Again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, but they have scored in this game.
Okay. All right, so let me read. Has the United States scored again?
No.
That's your World Cup update right here on The Zone.
Brought to you by Lee's Heating and Air Conditioning. might as well throw a tag on it.
You're giving away. you're just bonusing advertisers right now, huh?
Yeah. Just bonus them out a little bit. We'll tag their name.
Somewhere Scott Murdoch's wrecking his car.
What are you? Dad! He's calling up Lee's. Just so you know.
You got a freebie.
You're going to get an extra charge for the month. I love it. What are you going to do with Russell Wilson?
Nothing.
What can be done with Russell Wilson at this point?
Absolutely nothing.
What are they doing? We talked about this. Throwing the ball to stop the clock?
Yeah.
Even Russ Wilson should have just been like, you know what? I'm going to just go get my knees.
The guy was taking sack after sack. You need to take another sack. They don't have any timeouts left. Take the sack, Russ.
He was told to take the sack.
40 seconds more is going to come off.
Yeah.
Well, why would you just...
You saw that, right? The coaching staff said, we told him to take the sack.
Yeah.
Why did you not take the sack? What are you doing?
Well, then maybe you should have told him to kneel it.
Can you call Seattle and just be like, hey. This isn't working out.
We got a little, little buyer's remorse, if you know what I mean, right? Hey, guys, can we have our first round pick back?
You used disappearing ink on the signature.
You gave us, we have 3 months to return.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like Costco, right? As you have a good return policy. We'll take, you know, you can just keep Drew Lock too. That's fine. Keep him. Keep the Noah Fant. That's fine. Just keep him. Just
take this and the money.
Take that contract. Well, you know, Russ, and there's a little contract that comes with him, but for the most part, it's Russ. Oh, boy. So bad.
I'm shocked by how bad Denver is.
How'd your little one take this one?
Not great. We were at a family party, so usually there's some tears, and he tried to, like, I can't let people see me.
Well,
like
take
that.
What happened to him and do the exact opposite for Xavier, because that kid was pumped.
Was he over the moon?
He was running through the house like a madman. Yeah.
So was me and my family.
I know you were.
You and Rock doing the chest bumps. It's awesome. Happy for you guys. All right, Mark's joining us from Wasatch Medical. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Guys have been struggling with ED, and if they have, they've probably gone to that little blue pill, and the longer you're on it, the more you have to take, the worse the side effects are. It'll be for as long as you're on this planet, you're taking that little blue pill. Here, there's an end date with Wasatch Medical.
That's right. The blue pill, injections, they're just Band-Aids. But at Wasatch Medical Clinic, we have a breakthrough technology for the treatment of ED. Now, this treats the root cause of ED. The treatment is called acoustic wave therapy. Acoustic wave therapy actually will send gentle pressure waves through the skin to the blood vessels, helps to open up those blood vessels and give an increase in blood flow where and when a guy needs it the most. So you can ditch the timing issues that you have with the pills, and you can get the spontaneity back with the acoustic wave therapy.
So this is tested and proven. This really does work.
Yes, it does work. 60 clinical trials, 5 different countries looked at this technology for the treatment of the root cause of ED, and the acoustic wave therapy shows great benefit. Not every guy is going to benefit, okay? I'm not saying it's 100% response rate. However, the data does show about 70, 80% of the guys.
Are we seeing a major increase in ED in this country?
We are seeing an increase just overall, especially the prevalence is increasing even in younger men in their 40s. There's some recent data out there that looked at the younger guys, and yes, the prevalence is increasing.
And it all starts with that free assessment. You get to talk to a physician absolutely for free and see exactly what's going on.
Absolutely. So there is no risk involved here, guys. No pain involved. Very non-invasive procedure. But if you give Wasatch Medical Clinic a call right now, you will get the exam, the assessment, and the blood flow ultrasound, which will help determine whether you have a blood flow issue causing your ED. But you get all of that for free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results in the bedroom. And that is going to benefit both you guys and your significant others as well. But call us now to get this. The number 801-901-8000. Again, 801-901-8000.
That number again, 801-901-8000, right here on The Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.